Hey everybody, welcome back to Lessons Learned, the podcast where we aim to turn our experiences into your wisdom. I'm Randy, here today with Chris, Jared, and Talon. And today we're going to be kind of continuing a little mini-series that we're going to be starting about finances. We got a lot of good feedback from our first episode on it, so if you haven't checked that out, I would say go do so. But Chris, why don't you go ahead and tell them what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Redbeard the Pirate. How you doing? You know, we got, like Randy said, we got some good feedback on the first episode about, like, jumpstarting your finances. Seems like a lot of people benefited from that, so we're going to go ahead and continue because that's what we're here to do. We're going to be talking about financial minimalism today, where to, you know, cut back your expenditure. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. There's areas I need to, you know, quit spending so much in. And we're going to look at some articles and statistics and give you guys some insight. So, by the way, if you like the show, we still got some t-shirts for sale if you want to help support us, and we'll throw it right back into the podcast for you guys.
Yeah.
So,
you know, hell yeah, brother.
Right there. We'll post some stories, try to do it daily, and let you know how many we have left for inventory. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our financial guru,
the wizard,
Elon Musk.
Yeah, so right off the bat, I just want to throw out some surprising numbers. So I don't know everyone that listens to the podcast what their livelihoods are or what their finances are or anything like that, but 40% of Americans can't cover a $1,000 expense. And that $1,000 expense can be things like emergency room visits, car repairs, or anything. If it's not part of their budget, they won't be able to cover it because they don't have the savings for it. And 74% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Where's the what's the reference? Where's that from?
That was from MarketWatch and CNBC.
That's crazy, dude. I can't believe that. Like, I mean, I've got plenty of money saved up, and I'm only 27. So the fact that that many people don't do that, that's crazy.
Yeah, and those statistics, I mean, that you have to imagine that's accounting for, yes, it's accounting for like those 18-year-olds that probably have absolutely nothing in savings because they don't really have much of a job. But that's also accounting for people that could be in like retirement. That's a lot of people that still can't afford just a $1,000 expense. That's the purpose of the first episode we talked about, the jumpstarting our finances, that emergency fund. Because you don't want to have to go in debt if you have to go into like the emergency room. You don't want to have to take out, like, you don't want to use your credit card and have to pay more money and interest than you want to.
Yeah, that's just,
yeah. If anything, that statistic should be nowhere near that low. I think it should be 10 out of 10. That's just crazy. Yeah.
10 out of 10 would bang.
My God. No. Come on.
Sorry, I had to fill in for Randy there.
Stay focused.
Okay.
Randy's taking a break this episode.
Oh, well, no, I'm not. So that's not that much money, $1,000. Like, I guess that's all right. To be fair, I'm not going to sound like a douche. That could be a lot of money for some people, not a lot of people for some money. But whoa, it's all about budgeting, you know? It's about finding where you could cut back. And one area that I can do that is food.
Panda.
Dude, let me bring up my this is gonna be dangerous. I'm gonna bring up my credit card statements.
Oh no.
Can you give
this is the best statistics we can find.
Can you give me all the numbers that are on the card?
And the number.
I also need to know
the
expiration.
Yeah, we need that too.
Yeah.
All right. Panera this morning. $10. Coffee. Yesterday, $10.
Just for coffee?
I got breakfast sandwich too.
Oh, okay.
Johnny Rico's pizza food truck, $60.
Oh my shit.
That's just for pizza,
bro. Pizza and cannolis.
Oh,
beer, $22. But I bought everybody around, so you guys are welcome, moochers. Yeah,
you didn't give me a round, you fuck.
oh my god, dude, this is dangerous. Old Chicago, January 21st, $20. Lena's Mexican restaurant. $22,
dude. You're already about at $200.
Los Tapatios, another Mexican, $15. Chipotle, $16. Holy shit!
Yo, this is crazy. Before you go any further, I'd like to reference our last Instagram post quoting Talon. and he said, like, the average Chipotle order, not counting delivery, is $12. If you count delivery, it's like $16, $17. And if you're making minimum wage, that is an hour of your work time.
That's over an hour.
Think about that. Yeah, that's insane.
Dude, I thought that number was bullshit, right? I was like, $16 for Chipotle? No way. I'm looking at my credit card, $16.10. Damn it.
Yeah. It's accurate, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And, like, the crazy thing is, like, those numbers are actually pretty big on their own, but once you start adding them up, it's insane.
No, yeah, like you said, that's, well, that's $200. That's from January 15th to now. That's $200.
That's not even 10 days.
No, I know. Holy this shit. Is where I need to come. I know I'm not the only one in this country that does this.
Oh, no, for sure.
No, there's people who are way worse.
It's probably be a hard statistic to, like, actually get accurate, but I imagine it's pretty common for the average American to go out at least 4 days a week.
Dude, I go about at once least. A day. Even if it's just for a cup of coffee or something.
Dude, yeah. I'm going to call out my neighbors across the street on this one, but I see the delivery, like some kind of delivery vehicle show up there minimum once a day. Minimum.
Once a day.
Oh, my gosh.
See, this is, I mean, it's not social media, but it's part of the technology pandemic that we posted about, you know, not long ago. Well, you know, episode 3, but I'm back from
on
YouTube.
YouTube.
So I'm a little,
yes.
I'm a little...
He's a little behind.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if anyone prefers YouTube, go ahead and check out those. We're slowly catching up on all the episodes on there.
Yeah, I put in a ton of work this weekend,
Hell yeah,
so
brother.
Hopefully you're grateful.
Proud of you.
Thanks. What was I saying? I forget.
You're
oh, yeah.
Talking about social media.
DoorDash, Uber Eats, all that shit. Dude, the only reason I started with those is because of our credit card. You got a little bit for free every month.
Oh, yes.
And then the other credit card, we get $60 a year. Well, Talon likes to make fun of me because I've ran through that $60 in 2 days.
Bro, why?
He still has money for the year still.
I've used up a whole $10 for smoothies.
Yeah, I used $60 in like 2 days.
Big spender.
Wow.
But Uber Eats, we get $15 a month with our credit card. I use that shit every month.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. You should always use it every month. It's free money.
But the problem is you can't really get a meal on Uber Eats for $15. You always end up spending more.
You can pick it up.
Yeah, well, I'm lazy. If I'm ordering Uber Eats, it's getting delivered.
It's coming to the house. I mean,
yeah. But you know what I did? I was aware that I was making those terrible choices, and I deleted both the apps. And, you know, when I get hungry, sometimes I still re-download them. But... it's that much more of a pain in the ass for me, so if I'm really lazy, I won't re-download it. And that helps me cut back on my expenditure. That's one little thing I do.
Being lazy is one little thing Chris does to cut back on expenditure.
Exactly.
Take notes, children.
And he learned how to cook.
I'm learning how to cook. But here's the thing, right? So before all of those bills, I went to Hy-Vee, the grocery store. And spent $123.
Just
and
for you.
That lasted me 4 days before I started spending more money. But
bro.
But I need to do that. I need to meal prep and I need to buy more at the grocery store because the price per meal when you go to the grocery store, that's something we should look up. You should look that up. What is the average price per meal when you go shopping? Instead of going out to eat where it's at least $10. But yeah, so if I cook more, that's an easy money saver right there. That's some way to be frugal and be a financial minimalist, as Talon likes to call it.
So two meals at the average like cost for like two meals, so for two people at a grocery store, $6.50.
That's insane.
Yeah, versus right here, it also says the average commercially prepared meal costs $13. So that's from restaurants.
That's half the. That's a quarter of the price because you're feeding two people.
Yeah, it's two people. I don't know why. I don't know why this. That's from Money Under 30 is the website. That's just a quick Google search.
Damn.
But I mean, you can even get that lower if you really wanted to. Yeah. If you really think about it, I mean, we talked about this again in the last financial episode. But if you needed to cut back on food, I mean, heck, just like you can make brown rice. and you can just buy whole chickens. It would save you money if you just, because you can buy a whole chicken at a grocery store for like $3-4.
I thought you meant like a farm, like you're gonna get an actual chicken.
No, because then you have to account for like the knife that you have to kill the chicken and everything. So that starts adding it up. Yeah,
you kill with a knife.
Yeah, you just cut the head off. That's how you.
And then they run around.
That's a cleaver.
That's a knife.
Just go stab that thing to death. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. But you can buy a whole chicken from a grocery store for $3-4, and you cook that thing, you can cut it up, and that can probably feed one person. With the brown rice, maybe you throw in some broccoli or some other vegetables and stuff like that. That can probably be your lunch for that entire week, for example. And that would probably be like $5-6 total.
On top of that, imagine gardening. Like I can't do it because my apartment, I get no light. Imagine someone who's able to have a garden and can grow their own vegetables, like peppers, onions, like all that stuff, potatoes, whatever.
It tastes so much better, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we do that
you know exactly
house.
Where it's coming from, and it's organic, and it saves you so much money.
And you got to say organic in the episode.
Ooh, exactly. I didn't even try that. Now. It just came out organically.
Oh. Yeah, produce can be expensive.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
I think when you're talking about like spending money on food for like delivery and pickup and everything, I think a big thing to talk about is advertisement. Because a lot of the times I see an advertisement somewhere and then it like kind of plants the seed in my mind that, hey, I really want Chipotle later, or I want Domino's or something.
Well, that's how they get you, man. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I have a question. Talon, you might know this. I know you're looking up some statistics, so don't answer this. But for the other two, do you guys know how much the U.S. spent on advertisement last year, or pretty much just annually?
The U.S. as a whole?
Yes.
Oof.
And all the companies in it.
Dude, I'm going to say billions.
Yep. Well, it's more than billions. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Do you know what spends the most?
So the U.S. spends an average of $253.6 billion annually on ads.
And we can pay off China.
And it works.
With the main companies being Amazon, Google, and Facebook.
Good Lord.
The craziest thing is how fast that number's grown. So back in, like, 1980, the cost for, like, the total, like, United States advertising cost was under $15 billion, versus here in 2020. What do you say? 250? You said.
Yeah.
250. So it went from 15 to 250 billion in 40 years. Even back in 1998, it was only sitting at around $70 billion.
Yeah,
but because
it's
technology, dude. It's in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Social media, just the internet in general, like advertising is everywhere. That's how companies like Google, YouTube, how they all make money. Facebook.
Plus, it's so streamlined. Yeah. They know exactly the demographic they're hitting to the T.
They know you better than you know yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They use your location.
Anyway, we're not talking about technology, but you know. Marketing,
well, no, I mean this is a big part of it. We talked about it in our social media episode. It's like an internet pandemic. They're just like, that's the biggest way to sell right now.
Yeah, and this is why finances changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
I just pulled up on here,
like, we
a 30 second
what's up, Randy?
I just pulled up on here, a 30 second Super Bowl ad as of last year was $5.2 million.
I'm not surprised.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey guys, maybe we should put our podcast on Super Bowl advertisement.
You got $5.2 million.
Yeah, where are we getting $5.2 million? Buy the shirts.
I can ask for
Randy, buy the shirts.
We'll sell them for a great price at $100,000 each.
Yeah, that still won't even get us close.
Even close.
No. But so we live in a society where we are like, we're valued based on the stuff that we have, and we never have enough stuff. Like every time you see an ad, like a car ad or something, the ad is basically telling you, hey, your life isn't going to be full until you have this. And a lot of people fall into it. And I did. I mean, in our last financial episode, I talked about how I only had $20 in my bank account, like total. And yeah, that was me at that point. I was living paycheck to paycheck because I never thought that I had enough stuff. And I thought in order for myself, and in order for me to feel happy, I had to own this thing, some material item. And yeah, that's what put me in that category of the person who couldn't pay a $1,000 emergency expense, or, well, in that case, even my groceries.
Yeah.
$20 emergency expense. So do we have a statistic about how many people live paycheck to paycheck?
Yeah, that was 74%.
Holy shit.
74% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck to some degree. And the craziest thing is that that's from people making under $10,000 to people making like $400,000 to even higher.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's total Americans. I mentioned this book before, but The Millionaire Next Door, it categorizes people in different ways, that book. And one of them is people that have high incomes but have a low net worth. And it really happens. People can make $400,000 and live paycheck to paycheck and not realize how their neighbor in a smaller house has a higher net worth than them, even though they might like, mm-hmm. that neighbor might make like $50,000. It's literally everything to do with wealth in the United States is how you use your money, not how you earn it.
Yeah.
Or how much you earn. It's how you use it.
It's like you're getting paid. Let's say you get paid, or you just got out of college. You say, okay, when I make $50,000 and I can buy this house, then I'll be happy. And then once you have the house, you're like, okay, once I make, like, you know, give it a couple months and then you're back at that baseline. I know you mentioned that a couple episodes ago, Talon, but once you have something, you enjoy it at first and then it just kind of fades away and it's just part of your life. Like that person buying that house. Yeah. And then that's not enough. So they want a new car. So they're like, okay, maybe I just need to make $60,000 or $70,000 a year. Then I'll be happy. But then they just keep on increasing their spending, and it's setting them up for failure.
What's that country song? Money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a boat.
Oh, God.
It can buy me a truck to pull it. There you go, see?
Yeah, so Jared kind of mentioned that, like, doesn't matter what you have, and you always want more. That's because I did mention this a while back. It's called the hedonic treadmill. So the things that advertisers make you think that you want, like your life will be happy once you have it. It's like that new Mercedes, that new house, that new whatever it is. If once you get that, you'll be happy. You might be happy for a very short amount of time, but the hedonic treadmill basically means you'll go back to the same baseline and you'll crave more. You'll want something else, and then you'll get that something else, and you'll just keep going back. As I say, it goes in both directions. Something good happens in your life, like winning the lottery. A year down the road, you'll be just as happy as you were before you won the lottery, or like it makes mm-hmm. no difference. And this like I said, it goes both ways. So like it's the same thing, like if like paraplegics and stuff like that, or something bad happens to your life, you get in a car accident or something, yeah, you might be depressed for a short amount of time, but the hedonic treadmill, it means like a couple, like so, like a year, however much time down the road, your happiness level will be exactly the same as if it was before that event or anything like that. Your happiness will always go back to the same baseline. That's just how the human mm-hmm. mind works.
Especially okay, so how meditate. Do you how do you break that habit? How do you get out of that? Because recently, I don't know if I really have a how-to. I just kind of did it because I realized where I should put my money. Like recently, I had some extra money, and I was tempted to buy a camera. And I think I would enjoy using it.
You bitch, you better.
I don't think I would use it enough to...
Dude, you can make so many thumbnails.
Make it an expense. And also, like, with a computer. I don't think I would use the computer enough. Like, I don't think I actually have a need for that processing power in order to get it. And the same thing with
calling
a car.
You out, Chris.
I know, Chris, you were talking about a Jeep. And
what
I was thinking
the fuck?
About a
this is strike three towards me, dickhead.
hey. No,
you're,
no.
You're a good
hey.
Example.
But you... But so you really wanted a Jeep, but you didn't get it, and you haven't gotten it.
Yeesh.
I think that's because you realized you don't need it. And recently, I wanted the brand new Bronco, and I just decided I don't need it. You know, I have a car that runs, and yeah, I don't have the need for it, so I've just invested that money instead.
Yeah, so, you canceled your pre-order on that Bronco, didn't you?
Yeah.
Not yet. Did you?
Not yet.
I knew it.
I like the pause.
Yeah. Added suspense. I like. I thought you just went brain dead like normal, but no, it was there.
Yeah. So, Jared, to answer your question, though.
Wait. I'm sorry. Real quick.
Okay.
I got to defend myself here. He's coming after me, dude.
You're being
targeted. Literally all three things.
No, yeah. I was giving you an example.
I know you're not.
You,
being,
but I was using you as a good here's, example. Here's you my wanted deal. A Jeep, but you did not get it.
No. But listen, I want the people to know that the stuff I do buy, I buy very good quality of things because I'm not. I grew up getting the cheapest. It'll do the job, and then it'll break like a year later. I've learned my lesson learned through life so far. Is
oh,
that
it's the thing.
I buy quality stuff now. So, yeah, I spent a ton of money on a camera. And I spent a ton of money, well, a lot less on the computer that I just built. However, it's on the TikTok, too. Seriously? If you want to check it out. Hey. But I buy what I buy and spend a lot of money on. It's only in order to make more money with that. So it is an investment. I bought the
Amen.
Camera to start a photography business and sell photos and help with the podcast to make more money. And I bought the computer to render videos faster, to edit photos faster, so I can produce more. And honestly, dude, after working over this weekend and backfilling that YouTube, holy shit, has it paid for itself already. So that's my thing. I do spend a lot of money, but what I do spend, it is an investment.
Amen.
So, if you rewind this recording, you'll also realize that I didn't mention that Chris bought a camera or a computer. So you are defending nothing.
Exactly. And I don't want to, after you defend yourself, I don't want to call you out again.
No, go ahead, do it.
So I understand you buy quality stuff now, and that's what you should do. You should be able to put an upfront cost, and you should be able to have something for a long period of time, and you should be able to get as much out of it as possible. Like you said, you don't want to buy something and have it break a month later, versus if you bought something that was like twice as much, you could have that for like years.
Yep.
You should definitely do that. But you also, you're addicted to like brands.
I am.
Yeah, like brand names. So like,
yeah,
even in
my
things
brand.
That, even in things that don't matter.
Like what?
Like your wallet. So Chris recently bought a Ridge wallet because he was, I guarantee you're advertised by to it from probably like a YouTube channel because they're
Instagram. Ridge,
yeah, because they're
they did do, somebody's voice just are you dying? What the hell was that?
That was me.
Instagram.
That was me.
Instagram.
Yeah, but Ridge wallet, they have great advertising.
They do.
And yes, they have a cool name and everything like that. But if you do any research in a company like that, they literally just reprint, like they just put their name on rebranded Chinese like things,
junk.
Like wallets. That's all they like,
I know.
You can buy the actual wallet from the manufacturer on something like AliExpress or even on Amazon probably for like $5-$10, but Ridge Wallet advertises it and puts their name on it and they sell it for what, $80-$90?
I mean, I bought mine on sale for $70.
On sale for $70.
On sale.
And, man.
And like that's
that was
so,
a valid shot.
That's so many other companies out there too, or like even clothing. Like I know people that spend a lot of money on clothing, but you can like depending on like what the brand is and depending on what you're buying, instead of going to like Macy's and buying like Ralph Lauren or something like that, you can probably buy something similar that doesn't have that badge on it at like Old Navy, and it'll probably last you about as long.
Yeah, and I feel like once you hit that point, you realize it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like people don't care.
Yeah, or even like I don't know, like I shop at like H&M. I can have shirts that'll last me like 10 years.
Yeah, my body's a little too big for H&M.
Swole.
Yes. They're European sizes, yes.
Yeah. No, like legit, I'm too swole. Like, I'm not trying to say I'm big, but they just don't fit me at all.
Yeah.
And then the ones that do hug my gut. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're
and
fat.
Like, you even said it. Like, once you get to a certain point, people don't care about those brands on you and stuff like that. You look at people like Warren Buffett or even like Bill Gates. What clothes are they wearing?
Dude, I just went to Target
like
last week.
Like a white t-shirt.
Yeah,
I got some dope shirts from Target for like $16.
Yeah,
they're like nice, dude.
Yeah, they're good shirts. Yeah. Like, there makes no difference. It's just that they don't have like a brand name on them.
Okay, so hear me out. The Ridge Wallet, yes, dumb, right? Dumb.
Because
and you even sent me links. So, Chris, this is the exact same one for $10. I was like, well, it's not. It doesn't have the mountains on it, Talon. Okay, but
if I get my CNC, I can
it's a wallet. It sits in your pocket.
I don't know.
No one sees it.
I like a certain look, and that's what I went with. Yes, I could have saved money, but I'm happy with my decision, dickhead.
Dickheed.
You got me all flustered. I forgot where I was going with this.
So I think the problem with our society today is we're in a mindset of buying more stuff to impress people that we don't even really care about.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, and yeah. So Chris got me completely distracted from this, but Jared asked me a question of how to get out of that mindset of just buying things for that reason. And the way that I think, honestly, is that everything that you buy, it has to be a calculated decision. You can't just go into a store and just like look at things and just like buy them. You really do have to think about it. You have to be like, go into Target, look at clothing, look at decorations, do whatever. And you have to think about all of those things and think where its place in your life is. If you can't really picture you using that thing every single day, I don't think it should be part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's and Jared mentioned buying a house at like $50,000. That's what I need in my life. I need to make $50,000, buy the house I want or something like that. He reminded me of a show on Netflix actually called The Minimalists, which I completely forgot about this. And if I totally recommend this, it's like a 40-minute like little short movie. But I totally recommend this. And like, that was actually like a very good example. So like when he was a kid, like when one of the hosts was a kid, he asked his dad, it's like, because he was like doing painting or something. He asked his dad, how much do I need to make to have a house like this? Because I want this house. Because this house will make me happy. His dad's like, oh, you need to make like $50,000, $60,000 a year. Then you can afford a house like this. He got to the point, he got that house. And you're like, he filled that house with everything that he thought he would ever need. And he was he was making $400,000 and he still was not happy. He had boats, he had cars, he had everything that he wanted. And then he sat around and was just like, I'm missing something in my life.
He could buy himself a boat.
he could be that guy that everyone wants to hang out with in the summer.
Yeah, right. True friends. Hey, reference the old episode. Let's go watch, go listen, or watch
on YouTube.
Yeah. But if they're hanging out with you just for your boat, they might not be true friends.
Exactly.
That's what we're
getting. Well, we talked about that.
You're a little delayed. A little tardy to the party there.
But that's the thing. You need to be able to think about everything in your life. And if it doesn't add true value to you, then you don't need it.
Yeah, I go through life. Yes, I do buy expensive name brand shit. Sorry, Talon. But
with your North Face sweatshirt on.
Oh, yes, you do have the video. I was like, how do you know that?
Oh, my gosh. Damn it. Look, I like to look good and feel good. You know, look good, feel good. Yeah.
Carry I have a lot of name brand stuff, but it's all hand-me-downs from Chris.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even last that long.
No, it does. It's just I get fat. But I enjoy experiences over materialistic things. So, yes, I do splurge on myself here and there. But if you ask me if I wanted to go to Europe and I had to give up like my camera or my computer, I mean, granted, those things, I bought them for experiences like that. So maybe if I had to give up all my name brand clothes, right? Easy, done. Like, I would not shop. I would rather spend the money on like a European trip and just have that memory forever and some photos to go along with it. Like, to me, that stuff's priceless. Like, that's what I would rather spend my money on.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, like, Talon, you're you're very smart with your money and you do travel as well. But I always mention it, like, I kind of like to live life younger while still setting aside some money. Where you set aside a lot more money than me and maybe save on trips or save on materialistic things, whereas I kind of am in the happy medium in my life. Like, I do set money aside and I make that a priority. But I also do like to enjoy spending my money. So
I think I still think that you need to sit down and you need to think like if it really adds value to you. Like, so your coffee, I talked to you about your coffee the other day.
Coming from the guy who goes to Starbucks and get a shot of espresso and goes home and makes his own coffee, his own latte.
I get two shots of espresso and then I ask them for ice water and then I make my own Americano because the two shots of espresso, I get one extra shot of espresso than what they would have given me if I got an Americano. So it's $1.50 and I just put the ice water in. That's all an Americano is. Mm. It's just espresso filled with water versus like, so I spend $1.50 versus Starbucks, it would cost around $4. Or yes, even a latte. So if you go to Starbucks, you just ask for like a shot or two of espresso in a certain size cup, whatever you want, with ice, if you want iced. You just go over to the little bar and fill it with your own milk. That's all they do, and it's over. It's like half the price. Damn. That's not being frugal.
I'm
that's
sipping
just
on my Starbucks.
And like, that's not even being frugal. That's just like you understanding the system, and that's honestly how you get ahead in life. Like, not just like in like understanding Starbucks and how to save money there, but you need everything that you do, you need to try and understand it and learn about it as much as possible. And with money, I mean, we just talked about this before we even started recording, but like with money, it's the rich that understand things like the tax code. They're the ones. That's why some of the richest people in the United States can pay less taxes per year than like middle class individuals, because they understand those tax codes, or they know who to hire that understands those tax codes. Right. So they can save that money. You need to try and go out and understand everything that you do and learn about everything that you do in your daily life. So if you go to Starbucks, you should learn about that. If you have a house, you should learn how to take advantage of all of those things. If you own a car, learn how to take advantage of all of that. I mean, just recently I was looking at videos on YouTube of how to flip couches, and I'm like,
couches?
Yeah, I'm like, what? I want to start flipping couches.
How do you do that?
So you just go.
Yeah, I'm intrigued now.
So this is kind of like off topic, but honestly, anyone that's listening out there, just Google some blogs about this. It is actually very, like, you can earn a lot of money from this. So you just go on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or anything like that, and you just search for couches. And the ones that make the most amount of money is like ones like sectionals. And then you, like, people, couches are big. People want to get rid of them. When they get new couches, they don't want to have to like go hire a truck to go get rid of them. So if they'll give you, like, they'll sell it to you for very cheap. If you go pick it up, if you have like a truck of your own, or if you have a friend that has a truck, so you can go buy, like, go get a sectional on like Craigslist for like $50. And then like, you can just take the covers off, wash it in your washer, put it back onto Craigslist, and you can sell that sectional for like $800. But wow. The thing is that the biggest thing is that you have to deliver it, because that's what people value.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is, like, people value that convenience. It's like, oh, I can buy this on Craigslist and they'll deliver it right to my house, like, today. Like, that, like, that's how you can earn so much. Like, so you spent $50 and you just got $800 just from one couch. Yeah, and yeah, even like at Facebook Marketplace, there's free couches all the time. Like, there is free couches all the time. So
I'm
going
to come over to Talent's house next week. There's going to be like 18 couches in his garage.
Yeah. Oh, so God. Like, you have to think about it. Like, even if it's free, even if it's not like the best couch, you got it for free. Even if you sell that thing for $50, I mean, that's profit.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's for a $50 gain, that might not be worth your time and effort, but still.
Damn. There's money to be made, dude. There is money to be made. Even like Jared was talking about, like, selling presets for photography. Like, that's just passive income, you know? If you can find a hobby like that, we'll just use this for an example. So if you guys want to buy my presets when I make them eventually, you know?
Yeah.
No, so like, you edit on Lightroom, you know, you get this photo looking exactly how you want it, and you save that profile, right? That is called a preset, and you can then make a bundle of presets and you could sell those. If all these big high name photographers do this, and they make so much money. Like, I've bought presets before and they charge like $50 for something that probably cost them like an hour to make, and that's $50 just consistently, you know? Like you're saying, it's just passive income. Mm-hmm. Make your money work for you. So like, I spent the money on the camera, spent the money on software. If I could do that and sell it, like, that'll pay for itself in no time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All you have to do is open up your mind and, like, think outside the box. And there is so much money to be had out there. And you talked about passive income. So I totally recommend this book. It's called The 4-Hour Workweek. And the book literally talks about it as the title says. So you do things like, you build presets, you create a blog, you create a YouTube channel. You spend a lot of, like, you spend time working on it, but like, say, like, it could be only like, it doesn't have to be a lot of time, but the thing is, once you create something, it exists forever. So that thing that only took you like 5 hours to make, it can sit on a website for years, and it can make you money for years. So like, that's the thing, is like, being a creator, finding like that niche of like flipping or whatever it is, there's so many ways to make extra money out there. But the thing is, it all doesn't matter if you're not smart with your money and being a minimalist, like what we've been talking about.
Yeah, like having a little bit of startup money. Like, I mean, you do kind of need that no matter what you do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, that's really good if you can make extra money. I actually just thought of our next episode, making
side
extra streams of income and passive income.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, financial minimalism, like Talon just said, it doesn't matter. If you make more money, if you're... If you just increase your spending, that won't matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It doesn't. I already mentioned it. It doesn't matter how much money you make, if you don't save and invest it, the money means nothing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, what is something that you guys can work on? I know, Talon, you're probably the most frugal person I know. So,
that's impressive. I'm not even that frugal.
Well, you are. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're kind of like
just
me.
Smart
you kind of make
money.
Big purchases, but other than that, like it is what it is. What are some examples of you spending money minus at Starbucks? I mean, I guess that Starbucks was a great example.
Money that I spend?
That you save, really. Like, how do you save money? How are you a financial minimalist?
So, I avoid eating out.
A good one. We didn't even talk. Well, we kind of talked.
Yeah,
about
we talked about how much money you spend just eating out. And like, I go to the grocery store. So I don't know how much, what your budget is. My budget, since I basically became an adult, my budget for eating out, or just like, I guess eating, not eating out, per month for my wife and I is $500. And that's budgeted for going to restaurants. That's budgeted for groceries and everything like that. It's $500 versus you who spent, at least $200
in nine days.
And that's just you. That's only you. You're only one person. So that's how I save money. And you just have to go to the grocery store. And like that's it. You don't even have to be a good chef. You don't have to know how to like make great food. I mean, food is, I mentioned it last time in the last episode, food is a consumable item. You eat it in 10 minutes and it's gone. Why would you spend a lot of money on that food? It does not bring you lasting happiness.
True.
True.
However,
age. Real quick, if you don't know how to cook, just get a baking sheet, throw some chicken breast on there, preheat the oven to 425, put it in there for 26 minutes. Get a rice cooker, very cheap. You can find these very cheap. And then just rinse out the rice, put it in there with the correct ratio, put that, let it sit. And then get like steamable vegetables if you want. If you don't want to,
like the microwavable ones, even
easy.
Yeah,
are we a
like that's
show
all
now?
You need to do to start out.
You can live healthy and like and cheaply at the same time. You just have to think about it. And if you do want to learn how to cook, I recently learned this. So like if anyone knows like the meal delivery services like Blue Apron or like Eat Fresh or whatever stuff
Hello
like that,
Fresh
yeah,
you can things, you yeah. can look up all of their recipes online. They have all of their recipes, and you could just like print them or you can just like save them to your phone or whatever. When you go grocery shopping, you can just go pick out all of those ingredients, and instead of paying $10 for those meals, you can then pay like $2 for those meals if you just go shopping yourself.
Dude, there's an app my friend Dallas and Sam use. Actually, oh yeah, Sam was on the podcast. Forgot about that. Mule Lime, it's called. And you can literally build like your entire meal plan. Like you can search, they have recipes and all the ingredients, and it can transfer over to like these pickup, like to Hy-Vee, for example, our grocery store. You can literally build your meal and like all your ingredients and then send it to Hy-Vee, and then you can just go pick that up.
That
it's
awesome.
So simple, dude.
That's dope.
It's called Meal. Dude, I'm downloading that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice.
It's insane. I mean, there's like paid you could obviously upgrade to pay for it and get more, but yeah, it's pretty cool. They do it all the time.
Yeah, that's zero effort. You literally just do grocery. Like you just choose the meal, and then it just chooses all the ingredients for you, and you just go pick up the food.
Yep.
That is
wow.
amazing.
That's brilliant.
Insane, right?
So
that's the world we live in now.
Yes.
So I want to switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I know we've taken a couple shots at you, Chris. But
is there more
coming? We've taken some shots at Chris this episode, but he's actually pretty good with his money.
Thanks, buddy.
I mean, you have more invested than I do.
Yes.
And you do like expensive stuff, but yeah, that can last you longer, and that's good. And I feel like one area that you're also very good with is you don't need a bunch of stuff. Like, you don't need, I don't know, it's like the average household. The average American household has like over 300,000 items in it. And I feel like that's insane.
There's 300,000 items on my desk.
Yeah, I've been to Randy's room.
Half of them are just bottles.
Yeah.
Randy, I'm going to call you out a little bit. I've been in your bedroom once.
No, you haven't.
And, oh yeah. And I noticed you have a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
And this is something that I've been working on a lot recently, is having less stuff. And how I've done that is there's one method you can use that is a lot more realistic than the other that I'm going to mention, which is for 1 month, get rid of one item that you don't need or don't find value in, and do that for 30 days, one item a day. And yeah, there's just like so much stuff that I don't need. I've filled up bags upon bags upon bags of clothes that I'd never wear. And by the way, Chris, I'm going to give you back that shirt because I haven't worn it.
Yes,
since,
dude. I was just
going to
mention
back.
That. Fuck yes.
So
dude,
happy.
Jared gave me this shirt and I love it. I fell in love with it. Like, I was wearing it all the time, right? Snapping him in it. He's like, oh, I actually really like that shirt. Can I have it back? I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Indian giver.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
But now yeah, he's reverse so, Indian giving.
Udo reverse
card. Yeah, I'm
going
to give it back to you.
Yes.
And I don't think, yeah, I haven't bought any clothes for a while. And I've just been focusing, like in the past 2 years, basically, I've just been focusing on having less stuff. And it's really decluttered my life and my mind. And I don't know, I just find that I don't need items to make me happy. Like yeah, that is not my priority anymore.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. Finish off.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, cool. Well, you said the word decluttered, and dude, like you mentioned how I'm good at it. It's because I have like OCD, and like I hate clutter. Randy, your room drives me insane.
You need to come clean.
Insane.
But I will say, my room is probably like the only really cluttered part of my life because I don't spend, well, now with the podcast, I spend more time in here, but I don't spend a lot of time in here. So like usually if shit gets thrown in my room, it just gets thrown in my room and like that's
forgotten.
It.
You know, I hate that.
Yeah.
But I also, dude, so many things stem from my childhood. So this is like a therapy session every week for me. But
oh God,
my parents, my mom specifically, I love her. You know, she's my mom, but she drives me crazy. So much clutter. Everywhere, on the stairs, in the kitchen, in the office, in her own bedroom, in the bathroom, like clutter, and it drove me bonkers, dude. So I hate clutter. That's why I don't have a lot of stuff. If it doesn't look good, if I can't, like, all my countertops are always clear. I have like a candle on it and a, like a Jenga set up.
I was just gonna say Jenga.
That's it, and a fruit basket. That's literally it. My room is spotless, Randy. I used to clean my room so perfectly because it's the one thing I control growing up. I would make the vacuum lines perfect and the office chair pushed in, and then Randy would be a dickhead and come over and he would take the chair and go drag and make tracks all over my room. I was like, dude, what the
fuck? I totally forgot about that.
I don't. God. You scarred me, dude. I hate
you
that
scarred
shit.
Scarred me.
But that's it. Like, yeah. I don't buy stuff. Like, if I don't know in my head exactly where that's going to go, I don't buy it because I hate having stuff out and about and just unorganized. I hate it. So, you know, this mental disorder, I guess you could call it, it just has me, it's actually beneficial because I don't spend a lot on useless shit.
Yeah. And that's not just like being a minimalist. Room. That's just living life like that. You're just living your life more efficiently too.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Like that's how everyone should try and live. Like, I like Jared's idea of trying to get rid of something like every single day. Another cool one that I saw like just reading through like random articles is you can just like pack up like in moving boxes, just pack up things.
Oh yeah. I know.
Yeah. Just pack up like almost everything that you own. Like, yes, it's a little crazy.
Randy,
but pack up.
This.
Yeah. Pack up everything that you own. And if you need it, you can unpack it and grab it from the box. But after like a month, if you didn't unpack that, just throw that whole box away.
Boom.
Or donate it.
Yeah,
just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because
or
if you
sell
didn't,
it.
Yeah, or sell,
making
it.
Money,
yeah,
sell it.
Yeah, exactly. If you didn't need the things in that box in an entire month of living, you don't need it.
And that's important because you can't just go back and buy something else to fill that void. Like, the point of this is to be a financial minimalist, right? So understand you don't need as much as you have.
Yeah. doing something like that should change your mindset too. So if you were able to actually keep those things in a box for like that entire month, that should change that in that amount of time, that should change your mindset that you don't need to go out and buy those things once you get rid of them.
I also, to dive into the depths of my brain, I have a set amount of hangers. This is exactly how I think, dude. This is how I run through my life. So people are going to think I'm psycho.
You're a murderer.
I have a specific amount of hangers, right? I will not buy another shirt unless I know that I'm going to take a shirt off a hanger and I can replace it with this new one. And like that shirt that I don't wear anymore is the one that comes off. Like if I wear all of my shirts and my hangers are full, I'm not buying more clothes. Like, because I don't have anywhere to put it.
Mm.
Now,
that's pretty smart.
Well, it's crazy, but yeah, it's kind of smart. There are some shirts on my hangers right now. There's like five of them that I just don't wear. And I look at them and I'm like, well, I could replace them, but I just don't need more clothes right now. Like, I just don't need it. But
he'll wait for me to come out and then give those five shirts to me.
That's exactly what's going to happen, bro. I just texted Greg. I was like, hey, man, you want this sweatshirt? Because guess what? I had to take it off my hanger because I got another sweatshirt. So I'm going to just give it to him. And that's like the beauty of it. It's like you can also help people out while being frugal yourself. You can help other people. Like take it to Goodwill. Take it to even like Plato's Closet. You can get like $5 for that sweatshirt, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's little stuff like that you could think of.
So we've been mentioning a lot of stuff that might not feel like it's related to financial minimalism, but once you just get rid of all the stuff that doesn't bring you value, then you get out of this mindset that you just need or you just want more stuff. So it all relates to just spending less on things that you don't need, things that won't bring you value. And I feel like while we're talking about this, it's important to talk about sentimental items, because say you go on a trip and maybe you travel quite frequently. Maybe you go to a different place like 3 times a year. And you need all of this memorabilia, like you need a shirt, you need a shot glass, you need whatever's in the gift shop. Like instead of getting all of that and having like all these memories spread across these like 5 different items or whatever, why don't you just get one small thing? That way you're like the sentimental value of that item is just,
it increases.
Like it's all in that one item. You don't have it across multiple, you know, things that you don't really need, things that are going to clutter your life.
Are you referencing me again?
No, I'm referencing myself, because I looked in my closet probably a year ago and I had like a couple boxes filled with, and not just in my closet, like around my room too, boxes filled with stuff from like high school and from my teenage years and stuff. And I had like a bunch of medals from track, and I'm like, I don't need all of this stuff, because I had a big like plaque with a picture of it, like a picture of our team on it. And I'm like, this is enough. I don't need all of these pointless little medals. Like, ooh, I got 3rd place in 2011 in the high jump or something.
Not even
like
the
that.
First loser.
No, yeah, I wasn't that good. I wasn't good enough.
That's a good point. I threw out all my trophies the second I moved. Like, I moved to Delaware. I threw everything out. Like, it's because I didn't want that clutter, dude. But I thought you were referencing me, because you've been to my room. You've seen my bookshelf of all my travels, you know? So I have everywhere I go in the world, I get 2 things. I get a piece of currency from that country, and I get 1 little knickknack to put on a shelf. So like from Norway, I bought like a little troll figurine. And then from Scotland, I got like this little Highlander figurine. And then from Japan, I got a bottle of Habusaki. I get 1 thing, exactly like you said. I get 1 thing from everywhere I go. I guess 2, because currency, because I have a frame of all the money in it from everywhere I've been. But yeah, so that is a good thing to do, man, because I don't need a lot. Again, it comes down to that clutter for me. So I think this mental instability really benefits me in my life.
whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
But as crazy as some of those things are, like the hangers, I didn't know that. But it works for you.
Yeah.
And that's all that really matters. And Jared kind of mentioned it, but once you get out of that mindset of like needing all these things, it opens up your life financially in so many ways. I think it was Dave Ramsey who said it, If you retire in America, if you retire poor in America, you have no one to blame except yourself. And that's,
yeah,
like it hits hard, and like, but it happens all the time. If you are at the age of like 65 and like you don't have enough money in if you don't have a pension, if you don't have a retirement fund, and you have to live off of something like Social Security, man, what did you do?
Yeah, you done goofed.
Like, I don't want to call people out, but the thing is like, if you live your life like as a minimalist early on, and you can, because really, truthfully, I think most people's end goal in life, at least in terms of financially, is they want to be financial independent. They want to hit that age of retirement. Some people love working, but the thing is, they still probably want that freedom of knowing that if I stop doing everything today, I never have to work again in my life.
Yep.
But the thing is that if you don't actively reach, try and like go for that goal, you'll never reach it. But being a financial minimalist, it opens up so many doors for you to reach any of your financial goals that you could possibly want. You want to open up a business? You're not going to be able to get there unless you can save enough money to put down a down deposit on a loan or something like that. You can't start flipping houses, like Randy said. If you can't go out there and try and find like ways to make money to put down the deposits for the houses or to sell them or for the renovations or anything like that, you need to control your money so your money can work for you. You don't want your life to be working for money. You want your money to work for you. That is the end goal. That is what you want to do in your life.
And we're all hitting that beginning stage of seeing the benefits of that. I mean, you own the house now. You've got more investments than all of us. Second most, and then Jared's behind us, and Randy still doesn't have a credit card. But no, it's like
I invest in other things.
Yeah, we're getting to that point where like we're watching our money work for us, and it's like, holy shit, this is how it works. Like this year, my eyes have been opened so much, and I'm glad, because I was investing, but now I'm like getting aggressive with it, and I'm like, holy shit, like my net worth is jumping.
It's an addicting thing too.
It is. It really is.
If you see passive income, even from something like a savings account, like a high yield savings account, dude, seeing $15 that you did nothing to get, like to get, if you see that a month, it's just like, wow.
I'm like, wow, dude, I can go to Starbucks 3 times now.
Yeah.
You, like, oh my God.
It changes your mindset, and you're just like, how do I get more of this? And, yeah. And then you learn about like dividend investing, and then you learn like cash flow from investments and like real estate, random stuff like that. It's just like, wow, there's... Yeah, but you need money, like saved up money.
It's that initial investment that people don't have, and that's the hardest thing. So save up that $1,000. First thing, like what's his name's step plan, the snowball effect, debt, whatever. About
Dave Ramsey.
Yeah, you just mentioned him. I couldn't remember his name. Holy shit. I was thinking Gordon Ramsay for
God
a second.
Damn, dude.
But no, so save up that emergency fund, right? Save up the $1,000 that, what did we say, 40% of people can't afford?
Yeah, that $1,000 expense.
Yeah, save that shit. That's number one. Second off, start saving more money. Like, don't go to Starbucks like me. Don't buy name brand clothes. You know, it's save up this money, and then you can put a down payment on a house in a few years.
Can I make a point too, Chris? Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's cool. I was just on a roll there. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it was something I wanted to mention earlier that Talon actually touched on a little bit. But one of my big things is, like, don't pay people to do things you can do yourself.
Yeah, be like Dwight.
Dude, that's one thing that I never understand with people, like, all the time. Like, it happens at my job all the time. Like, something simple will happen. Like, you know, simple as, like, the flapper valve will get stuck on the toilet. And then they're like, call the plumber. And I'm like, oh, my God, no, it's the simplest thing to fix in the world.
That's a $5 flapper at, like, a hardware store.
Most of the time, it doesn't even need to be replaced. You just get, like, it's stuck open. You just got to, you know... Push it down.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And like, you're going to pay a plumber, you know, $125 just for him to come out to walk back there and do the same thing you could have done for free.
Yeah.
Like, that irritates me. And then something that actually happened before I went on my trip to Colorado, I got in like a little bit of almost like a mini argument with one of my friends because I replaced the wheel bearings on the front wheels of my Jeep. And now, like, granted, listen, I understand that that's not something that everyone knows how to do, but it's something that I know how to do. So the way I see it is like, okay, all I really wasted was my own time, but why am I going to pay somebody else to do that job for me when I know I can do it myself. So literally the only money I have to spend is parts, and then the only other thing wasted there is time.
Yeah.
And it didn't even honestly take me that long. And like, I had a friend that was like, why don't you just take it somewhere? It's like, why would I take it somewhere if I know how to do it myself? Like, why am I going to pay somebody else when I can just do it?
Yeah. But even something like that, I completely agree with Randy, but it needs to be a calculated decision. So like, if you're someone that's making like millions of dollars a year, and like, if like an hour of your time is worth more than you taking it into somewhere, like, you should do it then. Yeah. But like, that's why, like, if it like say like that plumber repair, if it costs like, let's just say like $150, and it takes you 10 minutes to do it, you definitely don't make $150 in 10 minutes. So you should just do it yourself. And like, even if you don't know how to do it, hey, just guess what? There's Google.
YouTube. So you can find everything on YouTube. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like,
I want to play.
Okay.
I want to play devil's advocate here and say that, yes, you can figure out how to do something, but again, like, it can turn into a big waste of your time. And yes, that can be like, I completely agree. I'm not disagreeing at all that you should try to learn the skill. So that way in the future you can do it. You can save yourself money. You can save your family and friends money if you learn how to do it. But also, I feel like that's not as big of a problem as needing more stuff. And
no,
I know
I think,
like, oh, yeah, that's pretty much what this whole episode's been about. But if you need to like take your car to get the oil change and stuff, or you don't really even need to do that, but it's just maintenance that you need to do on your car. Yeah, take it to a shop. Like, if you have the your mindset around you don't need everything and only getting things that bring you value, then I don't feel like that's a really big problem.
Oh yeah, being a minimalist, it opens up, like, you can get the oil change and it doesn't have to stress you out. You don't have to be like, oh god, this $50, I don't know if I can pay for this. Like, you can do that freely, and it's just something that you just know that you need to do. It doesn't have to stress you out anything.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see the point in paying someone to do a job that I know I can do myself. Now, like, if it's something that, you know, is a question mark in my mind, it's like, where, all right, maybe I can do it, but I'm not 100% sure, and I want it done right, then, like, yeah, I'll take it somewhere. But, like, you know, especially for some of the, like, simple stuff that people just, like, my point being was more, like, people will automatically just be like, I'm going to, you know, oh, my toilet's not flushing, I'm going to call the plumber. Or like,
yeah, so just getting out of that mindset. Like, let me see if I can fix it first.
Yeah,
like, see if the simple solution works first. And then if that doesn't work and you don't know how to do it, then call somebody. But it's like, sometimes people will pay. And again, these guys charge a lot. Like, it's, you know, a lot of them are $125 just to come out.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if it's something you can fix really quick and on your own, like, why are you going to pay $125 for a 5-minute fix?
It goes back to just being able to open up your mind. It doesn't have to just be for ways to make money. It's ways to how to save money. Like, I mean, my Starbucks thing, like, little things like that. And, like, even me, like, Chris mentioned it quite a bit, but I have a house now. Like, I embrace that mindset. It's like, why would I pay for something? Like, if I can quickly learn by watching a YouTube video and then doing it, like, once, why would I pay someone over twice as much?
You just put in a whole backsplash. You did all yourself.
Yeah, I did my, so if anyone, no one knows because it's the podcast, but yeah, I put in my own kitchen backsplash. I removed the old one, put in my own kitchen backsplash. Dude, tile is decently cheap. The materials is decently cheap. I put in a brand new backsplash. Looks awesome, I think, for $120. If I hired a professional tiler for it, it would have been around close to $1,000. Or even little things such as like outlets, like electrical outlets and switches. You can learn basic electrical work on just Google very easily. And this is all according to like electrical code too. So you don't have to worry. Like, it's perfectly legal in all ways. Mm-hmm. So like, I replaced all of my, like, pretty much all of my outlets with newer looking ones. I replaced like light fixtures. Dude, like the little electrical work, like light fixtures and stuff like that, that saved me thousands of dollars. Something like just one electrical outlet, it costs $2 at a hardware store to get a new outlet. It takes probably like, I don't know, a minute to install it versus paying an electrician $80 an outlet.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
it's
insane.
Huge.
That's
like, that's
huge.
The
kind
of thing I'm talking about where it's like, that stuff was like simple enough for you to learn how to do it, and you were able to do it on your own, and you saved yourself. Like, to do that backsplash, that would have probably been like, you know, at least a couple $100 job, and then all you have, or and that's in just labor, not even including materials.
Yeah.
You saved yourself a couple $100, and then all you spent was the materials and your time.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we've talked about a lot today, and we've got some future episodes lined up now, so we could talk about investing, and then I know one we really want to do is credit cards and how to make them work for you, Randy. But yeah, it'd be cool. So today it was more about like, do you really need what you have? Is there ways to cut back? For me, coffee, going out to eat, go to the grocery store more, cook more, you know, little things like that save you a lot of money in the long run. Could have saved me $200 in 9 days, but you know, I got lazy, and that's the thing. You can't be lazy. So evaluate your life, you know, look where you spend a lot of your money. Bring up your credit card statement like I did, and you'll be blown away. I can't believe I spent that much money. But look at it, save that money, start that emergency fund, and get ready to invest. And then in the next financial episode mini-series thing we'll do, we can talk about how to invest and where to, in our opinions. I know we're not professionals, but we'll give you a little bit of insight. So, sick. Hope you enjoyed.
All right, guys. This has been Lessons Learned. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and go follow our other social media pages linked in the description. From all of us here at Lessons Learned, have a good day and
see ya!